D-Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Derek and I are live out at Boomba's in Murfreesboro. Tomorrow, Willie, Derek, and I, along with Jason, Big Joe, and Jared, will be at the Boomba's location in Spring Hill. So come and watch some basketball with us. All updates of the NCAA tournament are presented by Toyota. Fuel your adrenaline at toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places. Also brought to you by the new Cumberland.com, Twin Peaks, and Bet365. Creighton has a 47-29 lead on Louisville. And I just want to read a series of tweets from our very own Jared Stillman, who is a proud alum of Louisville. 42 minutes ago, it's so nice to have the Cards back in the tournament. 21 minutes ago, we're not playing any defense right now. 1 minute ago, this game is over. Holy crap, Creighton is legit.
Man, that tells a lot about what you think about your program's basketball team. I wouldn't have never said that about the Michigan State Spartans.
What? The game is over?
Yeah, they hadn't even gotten to halftime. And if you know anything about basketball, what happens in the second half? You can come back from a 15, 20-point deficit. Now, is Louisville coming back? I'm not sure. They're not Michigan State.
Creighton is now up 20, 49-29 with 52.8 seconds left in the first
half. Yeah, but I would never say that about the Spartans. Mm-mm. And I'm sure there are Kentucky fans out there that would never say that about their team.
Well, you can tell that to Jared when he gets here at 2 o'clock. How about that?
Hey, Willie, man, you missed some good pizza. I tell you this, man. Man, you missed some good pizza.
I'm kind of bummed about that. No question about it. And the interesting thing
but
to me
about
this game.
But you'll be at Boomba's tomorrow with us.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that for sure. Creighton has the ball for the last possession here. They've hit 9 3-pointers in the first half. So they're going to cool off. They're a great shooting team.
Woo.
But I think Louisville has time to get back into this game. There's no question about it. With a 30-second shot clock, the long TV timeouts, the game is being played in Lexington. So they've got a big crowd there. There's no question they can get back in it. It's not over, even when you're down by 20. As crazy as that sounds, maybe there was a day where it used to be that way. Not the way the game is played now, especially the way the three-pointer is used. Louisville was down by 15 in the second half to Stanford and came back and won in the ACC tournament. So this one's not over. Hepburn just hit a three at the buzzer. So they're down only 15 at the half. They got it from 20 to 15. They scored the last five.
All right.
So there's hope for you, Jared. There's hope. Don't give up on your guys. But I'm gonna quote you that you said it was over when Louisville comes back and wins this game.
He's not a true fan, even though he went there and spent his money there. He's not a true supporter. Come on. You would never say that about your team if you
Creighton,
were a true supporter.
Creighton has a 49-34 halftime lead against Louisville in the first half of the first round of the NCAA tournament. But I mentioned this lonely wanderer. There is someone in the NFL right now. He's looking for a home. He doesn't have one. Will somebody please think of Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers is out there wandering the beach with his AirPods and his big towel, looking out into the distance, into the ocean, wondering, will I be playing football this season? And there was a story that came out yesterday, I believe, that the Vikings are moving past their discussions with Aaron Rodgers, leaving second-year player J.J. McCarthy atop the quarterback depth chart as the offseason practices approach. The article also mentions sources describe the possibility of Rodgers joining the team as non-zero, but all along sources have maintained that there was only a small chance that coach Kevin O'Connell would upend the organizational plan for McCarthy, whom O'Connell has called, quote, our franchise quarterback. So what does this mean for Aaron Rodgers? And I think Cam Hayward plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers, has his own podcast. Everybody has their own podcast these days. There are too many podcasts. But Cam Hayward was on his podcast talking about Aaron Rodgers, and I think Cam Hayward speaks for a lot of us.
So if they called you and were like, we need you to follow him into the darkness for a couple days, if he says if you come down there with him, he's signing. are you going to be off the grid for a little bit, go to the darkness and try to get this guy? We need you. You're our best recruiter. I'm about to get into Darius Slay, and it sounds like you recruited him too. So we need you to start recruiting. Get that NIL bag out like you did at Ohio State.
I ain't doing that darkness retreat. I don't need any of that crap. Like, either you want to be a Pittsburgh Steeler or you don't. That's simple. That's the pitch. Like, if you want me to recruit, that's the recruiting pitch. You know, Pittsburgh Steelers, if you want to be part of it, so be it. If you don't, no skin on my back.
That was Cam Hayward on his podcast, I think speaking for a lot of people when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. But teams need quarterbacks. He's a quarterback. What do we make of Aaron Rodgers' career prospects right now, Willie?
Well, the Vikings thing never made sense to me. All those talks. I know there was the Brett Favre track Packers to the Jets to the Vikings. But other than that, like if you're the Vikings and you're not quite sure about McCarthy, then you just re-sign Sam Darnold. You don't go out and get an unknown in Aaron Rodgers. If you're committed to McCarthy, that makes more sense. Okay, you live with that. So I didn't get the Vikings thing. The Steelers thing is the one that I think is the right fit. So I'm not sure what's going on with that. Is it? And I don't know enough about the situation to know if it's Rodgers resisting or the Steelers aren't quite sure where they want to go. But, like, what's the alternative for the Steelers right now as we have more and more time going by and quarterbacks are finding jobs? Like, where's the match?
You bring back Russell Wilson, I suppose.
Whew. I'm not sure they're going that route. I think the Russell Wilson experiment was just that. I think they liked some of the things he did, but ultimately they knew that where they want to go, he's not going to be able to get them there. Whether it's Aaron Rodgers or some other quarterback now, you start to hear whispers about, you know, Atlanta potentially trading once again Kirk Cousins, and so he can be in play for the Pittsburgh Steelers in that regard. Now, what are you going to give up to get a Kirk Cousins? That has yet to be determined. But Kirk Cousins is still in play because it seems like Atlanta, for all intents and purposes, they have moved on, and they're going with Michael Penix. And to have a high-priced backup like that may not be beneficial for this team moving forward. So if they can get out of it and trade him away and Pittsburgh is still looking for a quarterback, that may be an option for the Steelers. But I'm like you, Willie. I think Aaron Rodgers still has a lot of football left in him. I truly believe that because outside of the Achilles injury, his career hasn't been injury riddled. He seems like he takes care of his body, both from a physical standpoint and a mental standpoint. However you choose to look at it and make fun of him, again, you talk so much about the, you know, player's mental health and you zero in as a league and as individual players. And then when someone's actually doing something for their mental health, you're making fun of it. I don't get that. Just because you don't do it, just because you don't choose to do that doesn't mean what he's doing is wrong, okay? He's trying to be the best version of himself he can possibly be. So if Pittsburgh is still in a position where they are looking for a quarterback come May and possibly even after that, because that's the draft. I think the draft is late April, May?
About a month from now.
Yeah. So if they're still looking for a quarterback, after that, a starting quarterback, a veteran quarterback, then I'm sure Aaron Rodgers will be one of those options. And if Cam Hayward, once Aaron Rodgers gets there, Cam's going to pull all that stuff aside. He's going to pull it aside. Why? Because he wants to win.
So a story a couple of days ago on The Athletic talked about how Rodgers was hoping to sign with the Vikings, and he is seeking an annual salary in the same general range as Sam Darnold's. And Sam Darnold signed, I believe it was, 3 years, $100-ish million. So in the $35, $36, $37 million range for for Aaron Rodgers, that's what he's looking for. The story also says Rodgers has been targeted by the Steelers and Giants, but has essentially put both teams on hold while he waits for clarity regarding the Vikings situation. If Minnesota ceases to be an option, which reportedly it has, it's also possible that Rodgers will turn down both the Steelers, a 2024 playoff team, and the Giants, and instead opt for retirement. Now, keep this in mind. I saw this headline on the Front Office Sports website. Aaron Rodgers drawing very little interest from media companies. So we could imagine, right, Aaron Rodgers retiring from football, and, you know, he's on the Pat McAfee show every week. He could feel like make a seamless transition to being an analyst. Listen to this graph in this story. Quote, their main concern under condition of anonymity is that Rodgers comes off as a pompous know-it-all who could turn off viewers. His dalliance with COVID-19 conspiracy theories and public feuds with critics like Jimmy Kimmel on the Pat McAfee show also concern some being like television people. With that in mind, the prospect of hiring Rodgers does not thrill executives. Quote, yes, he could be a great analyst, but he's insufferable, said one source. Rodgers, quote, needs an image rehab, listen, warned another.
Listen, Stephen A. Smith comes off as a pompous know-it-all, but people love him, and ESPN just gave him 20 million reasons why they're going to love him even more per year. Okay, so that, he thinks all these guys, when they get on television, think they know more than the next guy. Okay, that's just the way the business is. A bunch of testosterone and whatever else is thrown around, whether it be man or woman, is thrown around, and one person thinks they know more than the other. So that part, again, like, if you don't like the guy, you just don't like him. And I get it. You know, I've been in rooms where, you know, people tend to, you know, think that they know more than, you know, what the average person or what I know. But I don't get offended by that. It's like, okay, if you do, so be it. Let it be. Hopefully, whatever it is, you know, it helps us, okay, in what we're trying to do, whatever it is. So, yes, they are talking that step. Yes, one anonymous source said that or two. But best believe, when Aaron Rodgers officially retires and these networks start looking around, no, he won't be a play-by-play guy, because I don't think he's that guy. But they're going to be looking to bring him in. Why? Because he draws eyes to the television, whether you like him or not, sort of like Stephen A.
What do you think, Willie?
I think he could be very compelling on the air. I think there will be somebody. Like, the McAfee platform itself is interesting. Just like the Manning brothers probably could go in the traditional role of doing a game, I think, on Sunday, but they've chosen this pathway that they're on right now where they kind of do their own thing. So it depends on the forum, right? If we're talking about like a wide open talk show like McAfee's, where it's almost, you want the controversial, you want somebody that's, to use the quote, know-it-all, it's not even that. It's really compelling. Whether you agree or disagree, that's compelling content, right, for that show.
Exactly.
That's different than being in the studio for ESPN's Game Day, something like that. So different. The forum would be the key to me. And if you're just going to pick his brain as an analyst, he's probably got a lot to offer if he wants to do it and put the work in to do it. I just like with Brady, I would want to know, is he going to work at it? Is he going to learn how to do it? Are they just going to throw him into the top chair, or is he willing to work his way up the chart? Because a great player doesn't always make a great analyst.
Mm-hmm. I do think that he ends up playing in the NFL this season. There are still teams that need quarterbacks, and a desperate team is going to pay him what he wants to play quarterback. We mentioned the Giants. The Steelers still need a quarterback. So I envision one of those teams is going to pony up and pay Aaron Rodgers, because, quite frankly, there are really few other options.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've said this about Aaron Rodgers, and I think he's sort of starting to find this out. The leverage that you had 2 years ago is gone. It is completely gone. You 2 years ago was able to, basically commandeer two franchises, trying to navigate your way out. you had the Jets held hostage, and you had the Green Bay Packers held hostage right before that. And you got your way. You got to the team you wanted to, and they got you the players, the exact players that you wanted. You're not in that position anymore. And whether he wants $40-something million or not, he may find out that the market is saying, you know what, Aaron, because the power that you wielded around 2 years ago, you don't have that wand and that power anymore. So this is what we're willing to pay you. 2 years, knowing that we won't see the second year, 2 years for about $60 million.
So $30 million per season.
So, and that's the going rate pretty much for a guy with his resume. And it may be even higher, but he's on the downcline. He has no more power to command more than that. They're going to say 2 years, $60 million. Take it or leave it. Rick, unless they're in a desperate situation.
Rick on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, wants to weigh in on our previous conversation about Brian Callahan and the infrastructure for Cam Ward. Rick, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. And my thoughts on the infrastructure situation as it comes to coaching is what I would prefer to see this year. I wish that Callahan would be the head coach on the sidelines, and I wish he would turn over the play calling to the offensive coordinator, if they have one that's a play caller. Because that's where I saw some problems last year, is he would get so caught up in the game going on, and sometimes frustration with Will, that he would look at his list of plays to call, and it was just like he was reading Braille or something. You know, I just saw some fogginess in trying to be the head coach and trying to be a play caller. And I want to know if you guys have any issues or think along those lines at all, or you think he'll just be fine at it.
Thanks
for the call, Rick.
Here's the problem with that, because I'm not going to sit here and say that Rick is completely wrong, because, again, he was a first-year coach and trying to figure these things out, and at times he did look as if he was a rookie at it. But here's the problem with that. Why did you hire him? Why? Because of his play calling potential ability and his ability to develop quarterbacks. That's why you hired him as your head coach, because, you know, he can have the slash of head coach slash OC. You know, the Cincinnati Bengals coach spoke highly of him, said he was the guy that helped really put, you know, the game plan together, because he was so busy during the day or during the week with being a head coach. And it was on game day that he called the plays. Why is their coach escaping my brain?
Which one?
Cincinnati's coach escaping my brain.
Zach Taylor.
Yeah, Zach Taylor. Zach Taylor says, well, Brian Callahan had a big hand in putting together the game plan for the week. And I just called plays on Sunday, you know. So if you brought him in that, if you brought him in here because of those things, he then can't, after 1 year, demote himself. He can't. Because if that's the case, we don't need you as a head coach, you know? So the only way he can do that is if his team starts to have success. They start to win. And then he can say, you know what? I got so much other stuff going on. I got to make sure I pay attention to everybody. Here, Holtz or whoever else, McCoy, you can handle the play calling now while I be the CEO of the team. That's the only way he can relinquish power outside of Brinkert or Borghazi saying, hey, listen, either you find your own OC or we're finding a new head coach.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers, the Titans infrastructure for potentially Cam Ward. It's all on the table. 615-737-1025. I want to remind all of you that D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick is proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. We are live out at Boombaz in Murfreesboro. We will, again, a reminder, be at the Spring Hill location of Boombaz tomorrow. Willie, Eric, and I will all be out there, as well as Chase and Big Joe, and, of course, Jared Stillman, 615-737-1025. Speaking of the NCAA tournament, Tennessee kicks off its NCAA tournament later today, a 5:50 p.m. tip-off against Wofford in the first round of the Midwest region in Lexington, Kentucky. So let's talk about Tennessee's championship prospects. We'll do that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is from Streetcar Taps and Garden. Patio season is here. Enjoy great food, cold drinks, and fresh air on Streetcar Taps and Garden's covered patio. Get half off a $30 gift card now before they are gone at thegamenashville.com/deals. I also want to let everybody know to tune into 102.5 and 106.3 The Game for Vanderbilt men's basketball as the 10th seeded Commodores take on the 7th seeded St. Mary's Gales in the NCAA men's basketball tournament tomorrow at 2:15. Pre-game will begin at 1:45, and coverage is also available on 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Willie, I just want to let you know that during the break, you were doing your live read for Lone Pronto, and Chase and Derek and I, we all said, man, Willie's in his element right now, doing being the update anchor for the first day of the NCAA tournament. This is Willie's, like, he's a kid in a candy store right now.
I'm all over it. I'm all over it. It's halftime. Purdue just hit a buzzer beater to go up by 10 over High Point. And out of the gate in the second half, Creighton has gotten a bucket here. They're underway against Louisville. So Louisville's got to try to chip away at this thing. They're down 54-36, 18:05 to go.
This is your bread and butter, Willie Donick, being the update anchor on the air. So speaking of the NCAA tournament, Tennessee starts its journey toward the Final Four and possibly beyond. Tonight at 5:50 tip-off time against Wofford in the first round of the Midwest region. It's time to ask the age-old question, everybody. Is this the year that Rick Barnes and the Tennessee Volunteers, they make it to the Final Four, they challenge for a national championship? So let's start optimistically. Willie Donick, how do the Volunteers reach their ultimate goal this season? How does it have to happen?
Well, I forgot to mention, too, in my element, the Curtis Blow, We're Playing Basketball. I know every word to that song. I used to get the boombox out outside the outdoor court, just play that over and over, shoot around, imitate Bernard King, Magic and Bird, and all the guys that are mentioned in
Shout
there.
Shout out to Nick Fraser.
Oh,
Shout
no
out,
question. That was Fraser. That was great. Number one, I think their draw is doable to get to the Final Four. The key is, and this is what I wonder, if they can get to a matchup with Houston, that's an interesting matchup because Houston is so unique. But I don't see a problem in the first two games. I think Tennessee matches up with their first two opponents pretty well. I'm intrigued about a Kentucky third meeting because Kentucky has beaten them twice. I'm intrigued about somebody like Purdue, who we're watching right now. Purdue's not the same as they were last year. They're still really good. They just don't have the Zach Edey guy in the middle. But Purdue has eliminated Tennessee twice in incredible games in the NCAA tournament. And so that could be sitting there in a Final Eight. But look, I think it comes down to one thing for Tennessee. The defense is going to be there. They are going to give themselves a chance to win with defense. If they can get on a roll and shoot the ball really well, and the guys who I've said all year long can be a little up and down from the field, Meshack, Gainey, Milicic, if they have their best games, then I think Tennessee can roll. I think it's going to come down to those guys because I think Lanier will do his thing. I think their point guard is going to do his thing. Zakai Ziegler is tremendous. I believe in him. It's the other guys that I think have to – they're going to play D, the other guys – can they bring their offensive game at a high level?
I just want to say that if Tennessee were to face Houston in the Elite Eight, you would probably need three Navy SEALs to officiate that game. I can only imagine how physical that game would be if those two teams were to meet. You know, a big question, Derek, that we've been talking a lot about leading up to the NCAA tournament as it relates to the Volunteers is Chaz Lanier. And can Chaz Lanier be Dalton Connect-like? We saw how important Dalton Connect was to the Volunteers last season. I mean, that game in that Elite Eight between Purdue and Tennessee, Zach Edey and Dalton Connect were just throwing haymakers at each other. Mm-hmm. It was two of the best players in the sport going head-to-head. Lanier, he can fill it up, man. Are we confident that Lanier can have a Dalton Connect-like influence on this Volunteers team in the tournament?
I think he can. But, listen, with Chaz, I think the first half and the second half for him has been, you know, it's like night and day. The first half of games, especially over the course of the last – you know, three, four, five games, is that he comes out and it seems like it's intentional with him, and it's intentional with the coaching staff and players on the court to get him the ball. And you see what Chaz can do when he's aggressive, when they're aggressive in their play calling when it comes to him, and when he's trying to come off those picks and he's really running, you know, running off those picks the way you need to. He fills the bucket. He fills the basket up in the first half. But the second half, and we've talked about this, Willie, the second half, over the last four or five games, he's been a no-show, especially in the championship game, the SEC championship game against Florida. Started off really well in the first half, got himself in foul trouble, and couldn't be a factor in the second half. And I think that's one reason why they end up losing that game to Florida, because their best scorer was not able, one, because of foul trouble, and then two, because it's just been these two tails of two halves for him. He's an aggressive scorer. He's a damn good player, a hell of a shooter. But unless – he plays more of a balanced game. And when I say balance, for everyone, I'm talking about the contribution that he's given in the second half should be the same. Well, the contribution he gave in the first half should be the same contribution he gives in the second half. And if you're a Vol fan, you haven't seen that from him. As good as he has been. This guy is a second-team All-American, you know. So this guy knows how to fill up the basket, the bucket. What a basket. With the buckets. But he just hadn't been able to do that over the last four or five games. And if Tennessee's going to win, they need him, like Dalton Connect, to be a bigger contributor, not just in the first half, but also in the second half.
I look at him differently than I look at Connect. And I know they both played at a lower level of college basketball before they got to Tennessee. But I just don't think that Lanier should be compared to Connect. He's not the same kind of guy. He's not a take-over-the-game type of scorer. He's a tremendously efficient catch-and-shoot jump shooter. You've got to get him the ball in the right spots. He's not a slasher to the basket. He doesn't get to the free-throw line very often. So he's limited in how he's going to beat you. So I think that's a different game plan. Like, I think if Tennessee were to play Purdue again, you'd have some of the same elements, but it would be very, very different than last year's game where you had two totally dominant players, because Purdue doesn't have the same post presence. They've got some big guys in there, but they've got nobody like Zach Edey. They've got the shooters surrounding him, but the dynamic would be very different if that plays out, which I would love to see again. But I think it's really not – Lanier is going to do his thing to me. I don't think we should expect too much from him. To me, it's the other guys like Milicic who's got to – they've got to provide that secondary scoring to go with the defense.
But he has to be that guy. Two out of their three – there was two out of the three losses that they had toward the end of the season. Ole Miss and Florida. And then Auburn's in there too, but they end up winning that game. He didn't score over 15 points.
You know
contrast
why that is? You know what that
contrast
is?
To,
at the end
on,
of the
contrast,
game, Derek, yeah. At the end of the game, when there's a big possession, how is Tennessee going to go? Who has the ball?
Exactly.
It's going to be Ziegler. It's going to be Ziegler,
you're right,
because he can attack the basket and make it happen. Lanier is not a guy you give the ball and clear out. He's just not that kind of guy, and that's not his
but
fault.
But it's not even him getting the ball and clearing out. It's him being aggressive off those picks. Him being aggressive trying to get the ball and then filling the basket up. Even in the win against Auburn, he had 12 points, and the majority of those points came in the second half. I mean, the first half. Against Texas and South Carolina, which were two wins, he had 23 points in both games, and he played more of a balanced game in both of those. That's what they need from Chaz. They need 20-something points from him, but it need to be a balanced 20-something points. And like you said, Willie, those other guys need to contribute. If he's not shooting the ball well and those other guys are still contributing, Tennessee will not go far. I'm just telling you that.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on the Tennessee Volunteers as they prepare to start the NCAA tournament tonight, 5:50 p.m. tip-off against Wofford in the first round of the Midwest region in Lexington, Kentucky. A quick score update, Creighton 62, Louisville 46, with 13:45 remaining in the second half. Purdue is up 37-27 on High Point at halftime. Wisconsin up 9-5 on Montana in a 3:14 matchup in the East region. That game, I don't know where it's taking place because it doesn't say on the scoreboard. Either way, Wisconsin up 9-5 on Montana in a 3:14 matchup in the East region. 615-737-1025. Come out and see us at Boomba's today and tomorrow. We will be at the Spring Hill location tomorrow. It's Thirsty Thursday, talls for smalls on draft beer all day. Tomorrow is Frozen Friday with $5 frozen drinks all day long. Also, Boomba's has a late night special for pie and a pint from 9 to close. Eat, drink, watch at Boomba's Pizza and Watch Bar. Every visit is an experience. Delight in award-winning gourmet pizzas. Enjoy our selection of handcrafted beverages and get swept up in the thrill of live sports. Come see why they are more than just a pizza place. They are your go-to spot for good time. 1025, 1063, the game. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Venkin here. This is an infectious song. I really enjoy it. I don't know if I had heard it before.
Oh, you haven't heard this, Adam?
I don't think I've heard this before.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on.
You never heard this?
And you call yourself a basketball fan.
I mean, I am considerably younger than both of you,
yes,
I would say.
That's true. But somebody doing
their
job.
Oh, now I've heard that.
Should have passed this down to you.
I've heard this.
I mean, when you're talking about Earl the Pearl and Moses Malone and Bernard King, we're not just talking about, you know, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. We got all those greats there, you know, Wilt, the Stilt. But we're going deeper. We're going to the next level. And this is pre-Jordan, right? This is Michael Jordan is not in this song, I don't believe, correct? D-Mace?
No, he's not.
This is pre-Jordan.
This is pre-Michael Jordan, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Bernard King those days, man. Yeah. Come on. Bernard King was
Dr.
the Michael
J.
Jordan. And Dr. J was the Michael Jordan.
Creighton is leading Louisville 65-52 with 11:37, but a Louisville player down on the court. So they are tending to him right now. Tommy is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, with a comment on the Volunteers. Tommy, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Willie, I agree with you that Chaz is one-on-one is not part of his game, but it should be. I mean, when he drives to the basket, he usually prevails, but he just don't do it enough. I'm surprised the coaches don't encourage it more. And for us to be good offensively, Mayshak and Jamie need to contribute offensively, and when they do, we're usually in pretty good shape. But when they don't, then that's when we get in trouble. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Tommy.
You know, he has a point with that in regards to Mayshak, Willie. Mayshak is an interesting player because when you watch him, if you're just watching him, he's athletic, he's strong. What is he, about 6'4", somewhere around there, 6'5"?
Yeah, he's a stocky
6'4". He can rebound.
Yeah.
He can rebound. He can play tough defense. It just seems like they should be getting more out of Mayshak, and they're not.
He's a good role player, and I think, like the caller said, what he's hitting the shot. Like, if you're scouting – if you're scouting Tennessee, you know, you've got to say, look, as soon as Lanier catches it, if you're not in his face, he's going to catch and shoot. You only have a fraction of a second. He's one of those guys that is going to catch it in rhythm, and it's gone before you can make up for it. So that's big. You know Ziegler is going to take the ball at you every time he has a chance. He's going to get fouled. He's going to make the right decision. He's going to put a lot of pressure on the defense. So much of your scouting report is going to go into that. So that's why guys like Gainey and Mayshak and Milicic are so important. And I've seen games where Mayshak is not hitting anything. Let's take the Kentucky games, right? Kentucky's not a great defensive team. Kentucky won at Tennessee because Tennessee couldn't throw it in the ocean because Mayshak and those guys, they could not buy a shot from the outside. But Mayshak for the year is at 36% from three. So that's not that bad. He doesn't shoot very many. So that tells me he doesn't really have the green light to shoot a lot. But if he's hitting, like Gainey's another guy. Gainey's a slasher. He can attack the basket. He can get fouled. He's very hit or miss from the outside, 29% from three. And then Milicic is a guy that's, you know, he's 6'10". He's a freak. Mm-hmm. But he can be kind of hit or miss. I've seen a lot of bewildered looks by Rick Barnes when he takes Milicic out of the game. Like, what were you doing on that play? Like, he can make a great play, but he can make a bad play. But when he's on, he is a difference maker.
By the way, that was the injured Louisville player was Rain Smith, who is Louisville's top shooter, had just come back from an ankle injury, appeared to re-injure that ankle, had to be helped off the court. Creighton up 69-52. In the second half. Jared Stillman has arrived. We will get his temperature check. We will get his temperature check.
Do we have a latest tweet? What's the updated tweet?
I don't know, but we had an
interesting pattern of tweets that it went from very high optimism to very low pessimism.
Well, he is in the flesh, so we can ask him at the break. But here's one thing that I thought was interesting, Willie. Dan Wetzel, who is now with ESPN, had a story about the veteran coaches in the NCAA tournament. And Dan Wetzel writes that of the eight teams seeded either first or second in this year's bracket, five are led by men 65 or older. Tom Izzo, Rick Pitino, Rick Barnes, Kelvin Sampson, and Bruce Pearl. I found that to be interesting, considering it's sort of a young man's game now, right? A lot of high-profile veteran coaches got out of the game with the advent of NIL, but five of the top eight teams in this tournament coached by elder statesmen.
Yeah, and they've been able to roll with the times. I think that's a really interesting observation because the game has evolved. Rick Pitino is such a fascinating character. I've always been drawn to him one way or the other. He's had some complete screw-ups in his career that have cost him, but the guy is amazing to watch as coach. I first saw Rick Pitino when I was 11 years old at the Dartmouth basketball camp. He was the coach at Boston University, and he came and spoke to the camp. I was completely mesmerized. When you're a kid and then somebody comes and talks to the camp, sometimes you're completely spaced out. You're staring at the kid in front of you. You're sitting on the court. You're going, this is uncomfortable. What's this guy talking about? But he would grab you. So that's the first thing that you would notice. St. John's is playing in Providence to start the tournament. Interesting, right? Where did he make his mark as a college coach? Coaching the Providence Friars. He took a bunch of kind of no names. One of them at the time was unknown, Billy Donovan, right? And they went to the Final Four kind of out of nowhere in that tough Big East, D-Mace, that was loaded with the great players in that league. He somehow got a bunch of guys that nobody had heard of, right? And next thing you know, they're winning games. He's incredible. And he's now got that same thing going at St. John's. He's got New York behind him, right? They are, quote, New York's team. They're playing at Madison Square Garden. St. John's was sort of insignificant for probably 20 years. Maybe a decent season here and there. But now all of a sudden he's got that whole town behind him. It's going to be really interesting to watch them play.
Jared, let's ask Jared Stillman. He's here right
he
now.
He walked in shaking his head.
How are you doing,
Jared? He walked
Jared?
In shaking his head. It was like, Jared,
he's going to grab a headset here.
I would love to hear Jared's perspective on Pitino as well after he gets done venting about tough. This game.
We're live with Jared Stillman, an hour early.
But here's what I'll say. I think I told this story on the air the other day. So, Willie, I don't know if you remember this, but this must have been 10 years ago. And I said to you that I thought Vanderbilt should hire Bruce Pearl. And you looked at me with your nose, like were just so disappointed that I would think such a thing. Like your nose was just turned up, you know, in disgust at the idea that Vanderbilt should hire Bruce Pearl. And I was like, who cares about the barbecues and the cheating and everything else? So when you ask about Patino, like we're going to lose this game to Creighton and it's going to suck. I mean, it's good to be back in the tournament for the first time in forever. But I'd rather lose with this guy, Pat Kelsey, coaching, who seems like a great guy and a great coach and a great – I think I'd rather lose with that than win with Patino because – and again, this was when I was 25 when I said go hire Bruce Pearl. Now I'm 35. I think I've added a little perspective, you know, over the last decade of my life. But I got to tell you, you know, there's a lot of – there's just a lot of scuzzy guys, you know, really sleazy guys as far as coaches are concerned in the NCAA tournament. Whether it's like Todd Golden at Florida or Bruce Pearl or Will Wade. Will Wade's coaching McNeese State and he's already taken the NC State job. Like, I mean, seriously? And everyone's like, yeah, no, that's fine. And Patino, and it's just so sleazy.
And I didn't say I liked Patino, but he's an incredible coach. But there definitely is an aura surrounding him of a bunch of yes men and a bunch of people that kind of walk around thinking that they've invented the game of basketball and that they are supposed to take over everything. There is a sleaze factor to it.
Well, and especially like being in Louisville, like it was, you know, he walked around like a god. And I, you know, after the seventh scandal, I was a little bit, you know, at that point I was like, okay, I've seen enough. It's time to go. So, you know, look, I'm happy for him. I find him to be one of the most disingenuous people out there. But pound for pound, like if we all had the same players, I'm taking his team to win because I think he might be the best basketball coach walking the planet. But there's the sleaze factor.
We are glad that we could get a little bit of Jared Stillman early today.
I'm just going to tell Jared, I believe that even with this injury here, that the games are so long. Louisville will have this game within five at some point. I don't know if they're going to win, but they're going to get close in this game.
We will see.
This game
615,
is not over.
737.
It's over.
1025. Jared, of course, will be here live at Boombaz at 2 o'clock. Coming up next, Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet NHL insider, will join us for his weekly conversation. We'll do that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingen, 1025, 1063. The game.